don't know if you know, probably most of you know, but in case you don't know, every movie starts with a screenplay. I don't know if you knew that. If you've ever seen a movie, and if you haven't because you're a bigger Christian than me or a better one, that's fine. That's totally fine. Back in the day, folks didn't go to movies, and I understand that. Maybe that's still part of your relationship with the Lord. I'm not mad at you. I go to movies. Pray for myself. If you've ever been to a movie, before you ever sat down in front of that screen, somebody sat down and wrote that entire thing out from the beginning to the end. Every movie, and that's hard to believe, because some movies you watch and you're like, they must have put this together like yesterday. This happened at summer camp and somebody thought this was a good idea to make money. But truthfully, it's a process. And every screenplay has the script. That's what the actors are going to say. The acting instructions, what the person who wrote the story envisions the actors doing, and then scene directions, what's going to happen in each scene. It's amazing to me that a person can sit down and write a story, and then her or his version comes to life, vision comes to life, that written word becomes translated into real actors in real time, acting out the story. That's pretty amazing to me. And of course, there's an ongoing process. There's an editing process. You know, sometimes the story doesn't work well here. Directors like to get involved. Even the actors themselves like to talk about the choices they would like to make. But ultimately, the point is to maintain as much as possible the original storyline. That's an oversimplification of the process, clearly. Because sometimes it can take years. It can take years to get something made. If you've ever seen The Greatest Showman, that's with Hugh Jackman, and I mentioned that as a shout-out to my wife, who's not even here to give me the brownie points for it. I'll make sure she knows that I mentioned it, or one of you should go, you know who I've been talked about today, from the pulpit, Hugh Jackman. Thank you for that ahead of time. 11 years. He had that idea 11 years before it ever was in production. He started writing that 11 years. I don't know if you've ever heard of... I'm going to forget it. Come on, it's on Broadway, and it's... all about the Founding Fathers. Thank you. That was over a decade. That was over a decade for Lin-Manuel Miranda. It was over a decade that he just had that idea. It's a process. It doesn't just suddenly happen. There's thought that goes into it, and you have to be willing to. There's lots of stuff that goes into it. Scripts are very helpful. You ever been to a place where somebody got up to speak from their heart? Or somebody got up at an event and they forgot their notes? Or something went wrong and you realize now they're off script? That can be very interesting. Scripts are important. I've been a pastor for a little while now, and I've officiated a few weddings at this point. I always use a script. It's not like there's any elements that really change much. It's not like the theme is really different. But trust and believe, I don't ever do it unscripted. I don't ever go off script. I can remember, you know, the giving in the hands and who brings this right, and then you come up and there's a ring thing and some bows, and sometimes there's like a sand thing that happens, or maybe communion, but still, for the most part, I can keep up with the elements of it. I've done enough now, but I don't ever, ever want to be standing in front of two people in one of the most important moments of their lives and go, line? Like, I never want to, I know I should say something here, guys, but I can't remember what it is because I'm off the script. I never want to do that. Scripted and unscripted, like so many things in life, there's a spectrum for it. There's a spectrum. Some people are more scripted than others. Scripted people enjoy order and organization, and they like the comfort and the safety of routine. Scripted people make lists. They make grocery lists. Sometimes by the area, they list the items based on where you first walk into the door. Sometimes it's even by aisle. And they'll take a pen with them. And as they are shopping, they will mark off each item. Unscripted people are not necessarily in need of order. We find organization important, but unsavory. And routine is to be avoided at all costs. Routine is so boring. Unscripted people will go to a grocery store with a few things in mind, and as they are walking around, they will see other things that they like or might like to try, and they'll think that, oh, that might be good to have. Then they'll have these moments of like wonderful inspiration, and then they'll just go, we need that. And they're so proud of themselves. There's no more creamer at the house, and they'll grab that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Preach on.
Unscripted people don't necessarily like them. Who wants to keep up with a list? Do you know how many times I've left my list at Walmart on the shelf? Because I got a thing, I put my list down, and I was like, bunk it, I'm just going to freewheel. And who takes a pen to a grocery store? Seriously. What do you need a pen for? Well, I got women raising their hands all the time. I see ladies push back, that's fine. Everybody finds themselves on this spectrum, in different places for different things. There are some, okay, there are lots of things in my life that I like to be unscripted about. But you will not find me come into this building on a Sunday, hardly ever, without one of these. Because this is something that I like to be scripted about. We all find ourselves on this spectrum in different places. And the reality is that no matter how hard we try, we have to figure out what to do when those unscripted moments happen. Even the unscripted people who seem to be fly by the seat of their pants, no worries, no accountability, even we experience unscripted moments that we don't know what to do with. And they happen to everyone. We're in a new series, an Advent series. And we're talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what her experience might have been like if we were to bring it into this day, into this time, into our culture, into our society. There was no script for Mary to follow after Gabriel left. None. There was nobody to whom she could look for advice. There was nobody to whom she could speak or who could speak into her. There was no script for this. The angel comes and says, you'll be pregnant by the Spirit, and the baby that you have will be given his throne, the throne of his father, David. There's no script for that. You literally are going to have to just sort of improv until you figure out where God is going next. There were no table reads where all the actors were going to sit down and talk about the choices they were going to make. There was no scene direction. Mary was going to have to figure out scene by scene as the pregnancy progressed. She's going to have to figure out what that meant for her day by day, week by week, month by month. And she was going to have to depend entirely on God for every line and every scene.
Imagine how Mary felt when Gabriel left. What would her family say? She must have been torn between two conflicting emotions. The excitement of being pregnant, and the fear of hardships she would encounter. How would Joseph respond? There's a lot on the line. You see, Joseph would be able to legally divorce Mary, and according to Jewish law, she could be stoned to death. Mary certainly had a lot to worry about. Losing her fiancé, losing her reputation, losing her life. But she didn't. She worshipped. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation.
What about us? How do we respond when we're in a tough situation? Life with God is often harder and more confusing than we ever expected. Mary realized this and humbled herself before the Lord and worshiped him with an unscripted praise. When we make God the center of our lives, we can't help but worship, no matter what the circumstance. When we don't worship, we tend to worry. Worship or worry, which do you choose when you're in a tough situation?
Talk about a challenge. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. I hope everybody is appropriately caffeinated this morning, because we're going to read 17 verses of Scripture.
What?
Yes. 17? Yeah. Luke chapter 1. verse 39 and verses 39 following. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." This is verse 43. "And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He's brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Mary doesn't forget anything that the angel says. The first thing that she heard was, my relative, Elizabeth, is barren. But this angel has said that she's pregnant now. My relative is going to have a baby. And that sounds great. But when you're a Jewish culture, that's huge. Because children were the crowning glory of the family. The family unit was everything. And yes, Zacharias was a priest. And that was great. So he was in the upper division. But the fact that his wife could never have a child, you have to understand that barrenness was a mark of the lack of God's favor. Maybe even sin. This would have been big for Mary. Lots of folks think that Elizabeth and Mary were cousins, so I'll call her cousin. I hope that doesn't offend you. My cousin is pregnant. She who has been barren. And Elizabeth is not a youngster. So Mary takes off immediately to go and see her. Now, I don't know this from the text. I don't have any of this from the text. But I feel confident that Mary went to celebrate and help in any way that she could. I feel confident that's what she would have done. And also, the coming of this new baby was perfect for Mary to get away for a little bit. Maybe have an opportunity to clear her head and figure out what she was going to say in the next scenes of her life. And can I tell you that I don't think it's any coincidence? I don't think that God planned the birth of John 6 months earlier than Jesus by accident. Now Mary's got somebody to talk to. Mary's got somebody with whom she can share. Mary can look at this woman and go, "I'm pregnant too. You're 6 months along. Tell me how this has been." Can you see how God even takes care of the smallest details? Elizabeth had no idea what it was like to be pregnant, but 6 months into it, she would have begun to understand the process and the season of it and what happens here and what happens now and all the things that only women experience. And so Mary gets to go talk to somebody who's doing what she's about to do. And again, I don't have any contextual basis for this, but I feel very confident they would have talked about everything. They would have talked about everything. What's amazing, though, when Mary hits the door, just from her greeting, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and John in her womb leaps for joy. And Elizabeth speaks blessing into Mary's life and supernaturally confirms Mary's faith with a word of knowledge. That's what she says. I hope you didn't miss it. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Mary hasn't said word one yet, and Elizabeth is with the word of knowledge, confirming for her that everything is exactly how it should be. Now, I wrestled with this next part because I'm going to diverge for just a second. We're going to talk a little bit about a little bit of a sidebar. Do you know what motivates me to feel better when I'm facing a challenge or I'm experiencing something difficult? There are three things. Feeling like somebody listens to me. When I'm experiencing something difficult, feeling listened to motivates me to feel better. Being encouraged. And when somebody looks at me and says, you know what? Your now is not forever. This is just now. This is not your new normal. This is just a season for you. You know who does that the best? Not Christians. You ever told an unsaved friend of yours that something was going on and they don't do some of the strange things that Christians do? It is so discouraging when we are sharing something with someone and we are in need support that that person minimizes your trouble. Oh, that's not that bad. You ever said that to someone? I've said that to people before. People who let me into their lives and gave me an opportunity to see what was going on behind the curtain. And they're relating something to me and I'm like, ah, it's not that bad. Or minimize the trouble. Maybe you're making a little bit more of this, you know. Maybe it validates the experience. You ever had somebody, you ever told somebody what was going on with you and they make it about themselves somehow? I'm just not feeling well. I don't know what's going on with my body. Let me tell you what's happening with me. I got a broke toe. I got a fever. Something's growing out of my ear. Like they don't even hear that just suddenly they personalize it and they make it about themselves. Or maybe sometimes there's this flippant response of, oh, you know what you got to do? You just got to do blank. All you need to do is just, they just have this answer. They have an immediate answer for your problem. We're the body of Christ. We need to learn how to listen to folks. We need to learn how to hear what is coming out of the mouths of people. We need to learn how to be able to discern. The sermon's not my gift, Pastor. That's fine, but you've got the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth and is there to comfort you. And if you've got a full-time 24-hour comforter, shouldn't you be able to give a little comfort to someone who comes to you with something? Shouldn't we be able to do that? We've got to learn how to hear people, to hear what's going on with them. Thank God for Elizabeth. Thank God for her. She doesn't question Mary. She doesn't throw shade or doubt. She doesn't invalidate. She doesn't minimize. She doesn't personalize it. She doesn't try to explain it away from a vast store of knowledge. She encourages Mary and confirms that the Lord is in control. Now, it's at this point, and please understand, I'm very aware of what's happening right now. I am a man who is not a Jew talking about what it might be like to be a Jewish girl pregnant in this time. This is not lost on me. Please hear me. I'm not trying to mansplain nothing to any of you ladies. Y'all know. But just imagine for a second what your script might have been. Because I can tell you, I would have sat down with Elizabeth and just let it all out. This could have been Mary's script. Interior, Zachariah's house. It's evening. Mary is sitting with Elizabeth, her head on Elizabeth's shoulder. Mary, in a worried voice, Elizabeth, what am I going to do? I can't stay with you forever. I have to go back home. I have to tell my parents. I have to tell Joseph. He's going to have to tell his parents. What if he divorces me? What if the leaders of the synagogue find out? What am I going to do? That's my script. That's my script. That's what I have written for myself. I have written that on my way to see my cousin, who is pregnant. I know it gets weirder and weirder. That's what I've written for myself. That's where I am. I have left this pronouncement, and I've said the right thing to the angel. May it be to me as you made it. May it be done to me as you have said. And then I am pedaling on my bike, going to Zachariah's house, talking about, I got to tell somebody about this. And I would have just let all of that doubt come up and out. And I would have let all of that fear. And I would have just had to have like a therapy moment, right? I would have had to. And that's not Mary's choice. She goes off script in her body, in her life, off script, and begins to worship God in that moment. I'm going to read this again for you. My soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave, which means female slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He's done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. That's how Mary responds. That's the script that she writes for herself in that moment. She exalts the Lord and said that this impossible pregnancy and the impossible situation that God has put her in, that's God showing his regard for her. She completely shifts the frame. She calls that which is not as though it were, saying, generations following me are going to call me blessed. An unwed, pregnant mother, pregnant by God at this time, and she's saying, generations are going to call me blessed because of how God has manifested in my life. And she expands the mercy of God. It's not all about her. She expands the mercy of God on her life to all of those who fear the Lord. And then she reaches back into the history of her people, recalling his mighty deeds, his justice, and his provision to the people of Israel. She recalls the mercies of God all the way back to Abraham. It's almost like she's saying, I rejoice in God my Savior, for he has blessed me. He is a holy God, and his mercy is upon me in the same way that it is upon all those who fear him. He's been mighty in the past for my people, and he will be mighty for me. Prideful people who would harm me will be scattered. I don't even have to fear those who rule, because God deposes kings and lifts the humble up. He will fill me with good things the way he has always filled those who come to him hungry. Since the time of Abraham, my God has been merciful and given help to his people. And that's how I can know that he will be merciful to me and give help to me. Mary has not forgotten the screenplay of her people. And she knows that the same God who wrote the screenplay of the universe, who knew all the actors and wrote all of the lines, who has foreseen every scene, is the same God who's going to be with her through this. All of our lives were written long before we were born. And that gets a little dicey, because there are some folks in the body of Christ who believe that everything that we do has been predestined, that the decisions that we make were foreknown and implemented before we ever came to be. I'm challenged by that. I think that's one way to read Scripture. But the truth is that your life was written before you were ever born. God knew every line that would be said, every decision that would be made. Every time you made a left instead of a right, he knows the outcome of your life if you're taking that right. It's crazy to think. Every choice that you didn't make, he knows the outcome of it. Had you made that choice? He has what is called middle knowledge, which means that he's able to see that entire network of your life as a whole. Everywhere that you could have been, everywhere that you might have gone, everything that could have happened, and at points along the way interspersed in your life, he has intervened in ways. Some ways you know. Some ways you can call, you can go back in your mind and go, God was there in that moment. There are decisions that you were going to make, and that maybe something at the last minute changed your mind, or maybe somebody spoke into your life, or maybe you had a feeling. I know we're not supposed to feel anything, because charismatic people, it's all about our feelings. Nope. I think that God works and moves in every area and aspect of our lives, including our emotions. Maybe you had a feeling, and you just knew that something was the right thing or something was the wrong thing. Our lives have been scripted before we ever, and thank God for that. We ought to thank God that we are not just walking through this on our own. That the person who wrote the script for us just completely took his hands off and lets us make all the edits? I don't know about you, but I promise you, I would not be here, standing here with you in this position, both figuratively and literally, if I were allowed to edit my own process the whole time. If I would have written my script, I don't think I would literally be alive in this one. Your script was written long before you were born. And the God who walked with Mary through the impossible is the same God who walks with you in every scene. And I want to encourage you today that if you find yourself in a scene without a script, that you follow Mary's example and worship the Lord. You're going to start getting tired of hearing me say, we've got to change how we think. If you're not tired yet, you're going to get there. I believe with all of my heart that the Lord comes and partners with us in our lives. I believe that we can't do anything in and of ourselves because of our sinful nature. I believe that He empowers us and works and moves through us. But I believe with all of my heart that what we experience on a daily basis has so much to do with how we think about things. And if we can just begin to reframe, please understand what happened here. This young lady could have been looking death in the face, and what she did was worship God. And she recalled to mind not just the way that He had touched her and moved for her and blessed her. She reframed the impossible situation as a way that the rest of the world for time immemorial was going to call her blessed. When her script could have been complaining and worrying, she worshiped. Folks, we have got to start allowing what we hear in here, what we experience in here, what we read in the Word, to really begin to affect how we think. Because if we let that happen, then we will begin to respond differently to the things that happen in our lives, to the things that we are both in control of and not in control of. We've got to begin to function as if Jesus is real and the Holy Spirit is here and God is enough. And we absolutely can do that. If this young lady can do it, we can do it. I just want to encourage you, when you walk into something and the worry starts to creep up, and that's the script for you in that moment. And I hate to use an old school cliche, flip the script and worship. Worship. Father, this is a strange message that you would have me bring in a time when we are all trying to be on our best behavior. We are all trying to be the best versions of ourselves, and we are trying to allow the holiday, just the impetus and the power of the holiday, to lift our spirits. But truthfully, often what we do during this time is we just kind of put off the frustrations. We say, well, it's the holiday, so we're going to act nicer. Hugs are going to be a little huggier. Handshakes are going to be a little firmer. Some people drink eggnog. I'm one of those people. Don't judge me. We try to let the feeling of the coming holiday lift our spirits. So it's interesting, Lord, that we would be talking about how it is that we can worship instead of worry when the challenges come. I pray, Lord, that before the holiday gets here, and I know, God, I know that we worship you and we celebrate your birth on a specific day. Lord, I pray before that day even gets here, before the day even arrives, that you will begin to work and move within us, begin to help us see our lives differently, begin to restructure and reframe what it is that we're experiencing so that we can begin to adopt the mind of Christ for every situation and circumstance. God, you don't expect us to be automatons and robots, not to have some kind of emotional response, which may even be negative at that point. But you're here for us so that that doesn't have to be the next moment and the next moment and the next hour and the next day and the next week. We don't have to hope that the power, quote unquote, of the Christmas season will lift us out. We can simply deal with it and worship you now, no matter what the situation. Help us to see even the blessing of the challenges that we have yet to experience. Help us to be drawn to you, God, in this season. Not out of some kind of obligation because it's Christmas and that's what we do as Christians. Help us be drawn to you, God, in the season, not simply because we want to worship you because of the birth of your Son, although that's important. Help us be drawn to you in this season because our relationship is increasing with you, Father. Because our minds are beginning to be touched by your grace and your mercy. We're beginning to see you in all of our circumstances and our situations. We're beginning to see through your love and your grace and your mercy into our world and into the different scenes of our lives. Help us to worship you, God, in this season, in spirit and in truth, as your word says. Love you, Father, and I thank you so much for this opportunity to be with your people. Thank you, God, for this. place, and thank you for this word. And I pray, God, that we would be hearers and doers of the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today.